The Lord be with you. If you were here last Sunday, you heard Pastor Seppa preach about Jesus' teaching on prayer. It was such an important sermon to hear. It called us again to be a people of prayer. So thank you, Pastor Seppa. And when Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer, he ends with this word: ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks will receive. The one who searches will find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In our reading today from Luke 12, someone is knocking at the door, asking Jesus for help. Jesus is in front of a huge crowd. He's just finished a long lecture, and it's time for Q&A. Question and answer time from the audience. So a man in the crowd raises his hand. Teacher, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family property with me. This man feels he's being treated unfairly. So he asked Jesus for help. Jesus, step in, bring justice to my situation. It seems this man is doing what Jesus told his disciples to do: to ask, to knock. But Jesus refuses to help this man. This man asks, but he is not given. He searches, but he doesn't find. He knocks, but the door doesn't open. Why? Why does Jesus refuse to help this man? Why? Maybe you can relate to him. Maybe you've called out to Jesus for help, and it seems Jesus refuses your prayer, your cry for help, for justice. Why doesn't Jesus always give us what we ask for? Well, Jesus tells a story that at least helps us understand why he doesn't help this man. Jesus' story begins like this. A certain rich man, his land produced a very large crop, and so he thought to himself, what should I do? I don't have any place to store my crops. His response is natural. It's expected. Something happens beyond his control. He's blessed with more than he can handle. So he asks, what should I do? What should I do? Things happen in all of our lives that are unexpected, out of our control. Sometimes it's a blessing, sometimes it's a burden. And we all ask, what should I do? What should I do? For this man, his blessing becomes a burden. He has too much of a good thing. So far, this rich man, he hasn't done anything wrong. But this is the moment in the story where the path divides. The man has a choice to make at this moment, between two paths, one path that will lead down and off into the self, far away into isolation. Or he could take the other path, the path that leads up toward God, up toward community and relationship. At that moment, the man has a choice to make. He has a chance to ask a different question. Not just, what do I want? But, Lord, what do you want? That question could change everything. But this man just thinks to himself, what do I want? And he's already headed down the wrong path, down into himself, down into isolation. We didn't hear the full teaching that Jesus gives the crowd right before, but Jesus teaches about integrity and forgiveness and hell and angels and God's providence and the last judgment. Huge, weighty, important matters. And at the end, Jesus, help me with my brother's property. I wonder if he hasn't really been listening. I wonder if he missed the point. I wonder if his priorities are mixed up. Jesus didn't come to solve his domestic dispute. Jesus came to give him abundant life. Jesus doesn't help the man because he wants to save the man, to save him from himself, from his own desires, his own wishes, his own dreams and ideas for himself. Jesus is saying, oh friend, that property has no real value. Your life is not about that. Don't miss the riches I'm giving you right now. I want to give you a good life that you can't even imagine, a life that won't fade away. I want to lead you to a land that will not pass away. I want to give you wealth that this world doesn't understand. Friend, don't miss the point. Let's listen to the story again. But pay attention to how much the rich man speaks of himself. A certain rich man's land produced a very large crop. He thought to himself, what should I do? I don't have any place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I will store them. I will store my extra grain in them. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain stored away for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and have a good time. This rich man has chosen the wrong path, the path that leads down into himself, down away from relationship and community. Now, this rich man, he's not evil. He's not wicked. He's not trying to do something evil. And neither is the man who wants help with his property. But they're both asking the wrong question. What do I want? When they should be asking, Lord, what do you want? They both think that property is something that they own. The land is mine, the barns are mine, the crops are mine. They live with a sense of ownership and entitlement, that they deserve this. But if they had chosen the other path, the path that leads up toward God and community and relationship, they would see that everything they are and everything they have is a gift from God's hand. Nothing is really theirs to own. It's simply theirs to steward. The rich man thinks to himself, I have a very large crop, but he didn't do anything to make it grow. God makes the crop grow. It simply comes to him. So do the days of his life. They simply come. He cannot number his days. They will come to an end when God decides. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Great Divorce. And Lewis describes hell as a city where the people fight so much that they keep moving away. They can't live together, so the houses get more and more spread out. And people get further and further away from one another. because they're so caught up in what they want. Lewis writes this: "There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those who say to themselves, 'My will be done.' All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek find. To those who knock, it is opened." Friends, getting what we want is not always best. Jesus knows this. He sees this for this man. He says, "What good is it if someone gains the whole world but loses their very self?" Hell is that place where we are on the throne instead of God. Hell is that place where things are out of order. We call this idolatry, the path that leads to hell. When we choose ourselves, our things, our plans, our desires, we're risking idolatry. Idolatry is when good things that God gives are out of order in our lives. When a good thing becomes too important, too precious, too powerful in our lives. The rich man's crops are a good thing, but they become too important. They become an idol. Jesus says, life is not made up of how much a person has. So what's life made of? What is the good life for us? The good life means getting things in the right order. Getting things in the right order. The man in the crowd thinks this property is more important than his relationship with his brother. That's out of order. The rich man thinks his own comfort and security is more important than feeding the hungry. That's out of order. This rich man's barn has become his temple, his church, where he worships what God has given instead of the God who gives. What about us? Are our lives in order? Maybe our problem isn't selfishness and greed. Maybe it's pain and suffering. You know our friend Corey Wilson. I don't think he's here today. He inspired me to read a book called Night by Elie Wiesel. He reads it every year during Lent to enter into the season of bearing his cross, of reminding himself of the world's pain. Night is a book about a true story. It's a teenage boy, a Jewish boy, who lived and suffered through the Holocaust. He was in Auschwitz and Buchenwald, these concentration camps. And he saw the darkest moments of humanity. And near the end of the war, he is with his father in the concentration camp, and his father is near death. His father really doesn't have a chance to live. But this boy, this 15-year-old boy, is giving his dying father his own bread, his little bit of bread he has, to try to keep him alive. And a man sees this, another man in the camp. He says, "Listen to me, boy. Don't forget that you're in a concentration camp. Here, every man has to fight for himself and not think of anyone else, even of his father. Here, there are no fathers, no brothers, no friends. Everyone lives and dies for himself alone. I'll give you a sound piece of advice. Don't give your ration of bread and soup to your old father. There's nothing you can do for him, and you're killing yourself. Instead, you ought to be having his ration. Selfishness and greed can turn us in on ourselves and lead us down the wrong path, but so can our pain and our suffering. So how can we be rich toward God when we feel so empty and broken? How can we choose the path of life and community when our pain is so great and our struggle is so hard? Well, we've come here this morning because we want to step out on that right path. We want to choose the way that leads to God and community. And when we gather for worship together, we're trying to put things in the right order in our lives. When we sing praise to God, we're saying, "I am not on the throne of my life. You are, Lord." When we listen to God's word, we're asking, "Lord, what do you want? What do you desire? What do you have to say?" When we say thank you for what God has given us, we say, "Life is a gift. Life is a gift." When we come forward to place an offering, when we share the bread and the cup, we practice what it means to share what God has given us, to bless others. We do this every Sunday so that we know how to live Sunday through Monday, Saturday through Monday, Monday through Saturday. I'll get it right. So when God gives us a large crop, we can say, "Thank you. Lord, what do you want with this? This crop that belongs to you, what do you want?" Or if our crop is destroyed by a storm, we remember that life is more than what we possess, and we can look to the community for help to share our burden and struggle. Friends, we all want the good life. We want to live a good life. Just like the rich man and the man in the crowd, they want to live a good life. They're trying. They're trying to find their way. But so often we get things out of order. We care more about our present situation than our eternal future. And we miss the point. But there's good news for us. Because Jesus Christ came to get everything in the right order. Jesus always chose the path that led to God and to life and to community. And he takes us with him. He's our good shepherd that shows us the way, that leads us home, that pulls us from that path that leads down to the self, back toward life and fellowship with God. Jesus leads us home. While we've been busy preparing for our future, building bigger barns, Jesus has been preparing a place for us, a true home that will last, that will never be taken away, that will never fade. It's written, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." Do you love him? Let him lead you home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.